Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So I was on a bit of a spiral.
What type of spiral?
Like internet spiral.
Okay.
And I came across... Did you ever hear this story about the Russian hikers that went... They were basically in Russia. And they were like trying to get... like there's like different grades of skiing. And they were trying to get to like grade 3 skiing, which is like highly dangerous skiing.
Okay.
So there was like 9 of them. They went like hiking to get to the point where they ski, obviously. And... they put up their tent one night, never to be heard from again, dropped all communication. They sent a rescue party out. They found the tent slashed from the inside, all of their clothes neatly folded on the inside.
Okay.
Like, so everything as if normal, like no panic, no like strewn stuff. They found 4 of the bodies. They died of hypothermia. But they said everybody left the tent either in the wrong shoes, barefoot, or in socks. Bizarre. So they found 4 other bodies kind of in their underwear or like close to underwear. Like they were like, I think they said on it, like completely like not dressed for the weather, essentially. All in different like stages that looked like they were trying to get back to the tent. A tree that had all its branches kind of like broken almost, so it looked like somebody was trying to climb the tree. Like mad shit. Couldn't find the rest of the bodies for like 2 months. Then found the rest of the bodies in the river. Bizarre. In the river, wearing the clothes of the people who had died.
Previous.
So wearing the clothes of the people who died of hypothermia.
Yeah.
All with impacts. They all died from severe impacts. So they said the impact would be like from a car crash almost. You know, that like internal like earth, like you shattered essentially. One of their eyes were gouged out. One of their tongues was cut out. And then one of the bodies was like radioactive. Had a really high level of like, whatever you call it. That
radiation.
On them. Radiation on them. Fucking bizarre. They cannot, and they only reopened it, so that was back in the 60s, maybe even 50s, and they've only reopened the case last year.
Oh my god,
is that not the fucking most bizarre thing ever?
Could have been bad LSD trip.
That's what they said.
Really?
Yeah, that was one of the things. They were like, it could have been like dodgy drugs, like it could have been like y'all did a load of acid.
Hang on, sorry, I'm just like gonna put my sunglasses down. And who is you? Hello, and you are very welcome along to the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. My name is Jen.
I am Carla.
And this week we are talking about mad TV concepts.
Yeah, bizarre TV concepts.
Are we talking reality shows or like plots for...
We're talking about sitcoms. It all, Jen.
Talking a broad range.
Talking about everything, Jen.
If you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because some things, especially on shows, like on paper, they'd look absolutely shit.
But then they work.
But they work. Like, if you were to look at the script of Stranger Things, you'd be like, nah.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Well.
But it's a really good show.
Yeah, it's
incredible. Even though it's stupid, like.
Yeah, it is a bit stupid, actually, yeah.
Like, it's a big fucking wall full of gunk that's terrorising the...
Yeah, but then it goes into the whole, like, Russian government and all that other kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, we know that, but it's just... just myself looking, the way I kind of look at scripts going, and I know, say I'd be looking at an old script for mm-hmm. something that's already out, I'd be reading the script going, my God, if this is the first time I ever saw this, is absolutely no fucking way to have anything to do with it. But
what's it like reading scripts?
It's like reading a book. You have to imagine it, and then most of the time your interpretation of it is wrong.
Oh.
So, like... Because, like, I've read scripts and auditions for stuff that I didn't get the part in, and then when they come out, I'm like, oh, this is a completely different... No wonder I didn't get the fucking part.
Oh, you're like, I read this wrong.
because when you get a script and you have to read for it, they don't give you direction.
Okay.
They want to see where you go with it. And sometimes they'll go with your idea, but sometimes they already have an idea in mind. And okay. if you haven't gotten grasped that, they're like, nah, it's not going to work. It's like, it's something personal. It's just like, no, not mad about horror interpretation of it. Or sometimes they will come back to you and say, well, we were kind of thinking about taking it in this direction, so maybe try it that way. But it's very open to interpretation. But most of the time when I read the scripts and they see it then and they tell you, I'm like, wow, that's not what I imagined it to be at all.
That's fucking weird.
But, and not to give myself a little pat on the back there, but sometimes the way I imagine it is better than the way I fucking do it.
You're like,
they should have done it that way.
I'd watch my one.
Would have been much better.
I'd yeah. like to see it.
I would do that again, but in a different way completely.
That is not what I saw for that.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a concept given to you or a script given to you that you've just been like, what the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no, not from a perspective, not from a person who was actually on the edge of doing it. I would have people that would come to me and be like, "What do you think? Do you want to get together and write this? Maybe meet the concept is this," and I'm like that. The concept sounds just like something that I wouldn't be into, so I would have automatically said no. But like the more I think of it, and like that would have been a couple of years ago, I've kind of learned a lot since then. But now that I think of it, I'm just like, well. Realistically, if you looked at the concept of fucking Game of Thrones, you'd be like, ugh, like witches and wizards and like Lord of Light, what the fuck?
I think though, with the Game of Thrones, it was from a book, so they were just like, oh, away we go kind of thing.
Yeah.
But of course it deviated from, you know, the last two series, the books weren't written yet.
Yeah, well, it also deviated from being good.
I only ever read the books, I never... bothered watching
very hard to follow
the series,
the whole thing.
You should see the books.
The fucking
books are bizarre.
Yeah, I suppose when you have to imagine the characters,
each chapter is given, like, so you'd have like Arya and then you go on to like Sansa and then it flips to like fucking Jon and then you're on Ned and you're literally like, oh, headache.
Yeah,
like I used to just skip like Sansa's chapters because they were so
she good. Is so bad.
She's a shit character.
What was she even in it for?
I don't really entirely know. Arya was the best character. She absolutely. Was the fucking Bob.
They could have done without Sansa now, in fairness.
Absolutely.
Didn't really have much input.
Is there any that, like, you can tell us about?
They're putting me on the spot now. There's one, actually, and it's only coming out now, and I don't know if any of the characters in it are listening to this, so I don't want to name it, but there's one that I did a table read for. Didn't end up getting the part. I don't know whether it was that and got to do with the fact that I was heavily pregnant on Bobby when I was getting shot, and I possibly had him while they were still filming it. The concept seems a bit, it's kind of tongue in cheek, like, you know, it's a bit, that's grand, like it's kind of fun. It's a funny script.
Oh wow.
Will it look classic RTE Fair City type of shit?
Oh,
well, it's, and that's not against Fair City. I actually know loads of actors in Fair City. They're great actors. It's just I don't think it's produced right. But
Fair City,
yeah,
yeah. Well,
yeah, it's not. It's just
it's old school Ireland, isn't it?
Like, exactly. Just, yeah. But I just feel I don't know. I'm dying to see it. I'm dying to see what way it worked out. I'm dying to see is what I imagined in my head the way it's gonna be, or is it gonna be better or worse?
Really?
It's out in June.
What's the concept?
It's about murderous hairdressers. It's like a gang in this place. And
it's supposed to be funny?
It's comedy. It's like a group of hairdressers and they're getting terrorised by the local gang and they end up turning into murderers and they kill them all. Do you know what I mean? That kind of sounds a bit like...
Interesting.
But so I'm dying to see what it turns...
What it looks like. That's, yeah. I mean...
It was initially called Cutters. I can't remember what the new name for it is now. It's not Mad Hatters. I can't remember what the new name for it is. But it's out, you understand. It's an Irish film, like.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm dying to see what it's going to look like when it comes out, because it just seems like it's going to... like it wouldn't be taken seriously, do you know what I mean? But yeah, it could be fucking brilliant, like, yeah, do you know, like, what I mean? So I'm dying to see what's coming, like.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
I find, like, I'd just love to know how some of these things get the whole way through into production. Do you know?
That was a while.
Like, some concepts, like, I just wonder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, that was a while. Now, I did the table read for that in 2018.
Fucking hell.
That was the table read, and they were supposed to film it in the spring, and then there was, well, obviously I wasn't involved in this, so I don't know the full background of it, but they didn't shoot it until, it was over a year later, it was November.
Yeah.
Just gone, so.
Oh, yeah. God. Mm. You literally just had the sprung.
Yeah, literally just had.
Just actually had him.
I actually saw one of the girls at an Aslan gig, Shauna Higgins, she's in it, and she was saying it was great crack on set, so.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a fairly short shoot, I think it was 5 or 6 weeks.
Is that a short shoot?
Mm.
I know absolutely nothing about shooting. I'm just always like, how?
Yeah.
Some things I'm just like, how did you get over the line? Do you get me?
Yeah, it takes a lot. You're looking for funding and everything like that as well.
Really?
Yeah. And the Irish film board are a bit shit. Like, they wouldn't, like, at the beginning, they wouldn't fund John Connor's movie, Cardboard Gangsters.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And he made a big fucking deal of that at the IFTS. He was like, we didn't get funding for this because of who I am. He said it was because he was a traveller. I don't know whether that was it or they just didn't like the concept or the whatever. Concept, but they wouldn't fund it for him, basically. So,
I find that all very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we've touched on this a couple of times. We did one on reality TV.
Mm.
This is kind of less about reality TV and more of kind of like a mesh of like concepts that, like, as I said, I'm very confused as to how they got over the line.
Mm.
One that rings true to my childhood is Takeshi's Castle.
Oh my God.
Takeshi's Castle.
It's such a shit show, isn't it?
I just, bizarre.
Like,
so all I remember is it being insanely difficult.
Mm.
And really weird.
Yeah.
But I was hooked.
So addicted. I was like, yeah.
What was the challenge TV that it used
challenge.
To be on? Challenge.
It was on Comedy Central as well for a while.
Yeah.
They'd do like back to back before they got their hands on Friends, and now that's all they fucking show. But there's another one as well. Because who, the Irish presenter, what's her name? And Richard Hammond did it as well.
Ash and B? No.
No. Amanda.
Amanda Byram.
Yes,
mm.
She hosted it with Richard Hammond. So I don't think, you know, the way the Takeshi's Castle is more Asian.
Yeah.
I think this was like an English one. I can't remember the name of it now.
Is it Ninja Warrior?
No, but it was pretty much the same thing as Takeshi's Castle. Like, it was an assault course.
Interesting. For anybody who doesn't know what Takeshi's Castle is, it was a mad Japanese show where it was like an assault course, an obstacle course, but like they used to fuck them from height. Like, yeah. They used to literally, like, some of the challenges, I was like, ooh, that's a broken bone. And they'd just be like, ha ha ha. And they were never dressed appropriately.
Never.
Like, the women were always wearing like skirts or little tops or whatever. And it was like, it was a hardcore, like, I'm pretty sure army people couldn't get through them courses.
Yeah, it was harder than gladiators.
It was like mad things swinging at them from like 10 meters up. It was really, like, it was honestly bizarre, but
just
I was
imagine hooked. Jumping on a big inflatable with somebody on the other side of it from, I'm gonna say, the height of a crane.
Yeah.
that kind of shit.
Really weird. I can't remember what the prize was.
I don't think there was. It was just,
I just remember no one ever got through to the last round.
No.
Very rarely.
And you'd be delighted
for
when
you did. And you'd be like, oh my God. And you'd be like, this is a good episode because they nearly got through to the... But it was like such a... I feel like there was such a volume of episodes.
Yeah.
Our challenge used to show 2 a night, every night.
Yeah.
For 4 years maybe.
It was really popular over here. And I don't know why, because it's just one of those... Like, nothing productive is happening.
No.
Are watching that, it's chewing gum for the brain. It's you're looking at this because nothing else is on.
Yeah, funny. Speaking of Amanda Byram, the swan.
This is ringing a bell. I don't think I watched this though.
So I think we talked about this on reality TV, but it's one that kept coming up. I asked everybody what's their most bizarre, kind of like what concepts did they see, and they were like, how the fuck did this get through? So The Swan was a show where women went on and got like intensive like plastic surgery to become the swan. Like, so it was like from an ugly duck to a swan.
Oh, stop that.
Yeah, it was honestly, it was bizarre.
That.
It was bizarre.
I know, I heard the word swan and I was like, this has got to do plastic surgery and makeovers, but like, to go from the ugly duckling, I thought they could have left that bit.
Yeah, you are a swan. And the girls would all be like, yay. And I was like, and their mental health is in ribbons.
Yeah.
Like, in absolute ribbons. But I'm also like, how did that get over the line?
Also, like, shows like that, was the other one called Bridal Plasty?
Yeah, there was that. Yeah, that came up a good bit as well. But like, at least that was for their wedding. This was like, they were unhappy with their lives and appearance and are revitalized by undergoing physical, mental and emotional transformations. Jeez. So they get a coach, a therapist, a trainer, a cosmetic surgeon, a dentist and a stylist. But I'm sorry, like, I know that they threw in, I think that it's just such a like, they threw in the coach and the therapist for, so they didn't get sued, essentially.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that like, is mad.
A bizarre concept. It was only on for like 6 months.
That does not surprise me one bit.
Yeah, I know. But Amanda Byram, a little classic, she was the host of it, which was, I remember it was a massive, it was like quite well produced. It was American.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, heavily American produced. Amanda is like, I mean, she's phenomenal, but she always looked unreal. She always had like the best clothes. She just looked great. You know, when
she
you're like, you look great.
She reminds me of an Irish Celine Dion.
Yeah, I see it.
You see?
Yeah, I do see it. Yeah, absolutely.
She has that kind of look of her.
Yeah, I do.
There's a few plastic surgery shows. Like.
There is a few plastic surgery shows. I mean, I do find them all, like, apart from Botched, I do.
I love Botched.
I like Botched because I'm like, thank fuck they're getting themselves sorted out. But it was so, so grim.
Yeah.
Like, it was such a grim premise. And, like, I wouldn't even mind. Like, the women were all they needed was a bit of, like a bit of eyebrows, hair makeover, do you know? Like a bit of makeup applied properly. They didn't need fucking, like, I remember one girl got like 9 or 10 surgeries in one go.
That's mad.
And it would be like, they get like a nose job, boob job, like mad stuff, tummy tuck, liposuction. I mean, absolutely fucking bizarre. And then they'd do this reveal where they'd walk down the stairs and like their whole family would be like, you look nothing like.
I was going to say, you'd be waking up in a different body like fucking Frankenstein.
Yeah, like, I mean, I feel like also there was one, what do you call it, contestant, I suppose?
Yeah.
It wasn't really a competition, though. It was just very strange. Critics obviously tore it apart.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and viewers weren't really about it either. They watched, it was car crash Shelly. Yeah, like, it was like, I'm watching this, but like, why am I watching? I just, even as a kid, I remember watching it and being like, this is wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
This is really wrong. And one of the swans, yeah, they were called swans. One of the swans came out saying that, like, she had, you know, issues with complications as a result of the surgeries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, her mental health got worse.
Fuck.
As it obviously would. Yeah. You're giving someone a therapist and then being like, off you go there, 9 surgeries for you. It's very hard to get to watch any of it. It's kind of been erased from the...
Oh, yeah, the spectrum.
Yeah, from the spectrum. I mean, what was Amanda Byram thinking?
I suppose when you're a presenter, you probably just take what's going, especially if it's in America.
Actually, I remember as a kid.
But she's quite international now, though, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. She's done a good few bits, actually. Mm. Yeah, funnily enough. I remember watching it and being like, oh my God, that's so cool. Someone Irish is on an American TV show.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And then I remembered it was The Swan.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, slightly bizarre.
There are some mad presenters, though. Like, I recently only started watching Love is Blind, and Nick Lachey walked out, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
What the fuck is Nick Lachey doing?
Well, he did other stuff after, like, the success of Newlyweds.
Do you remember that? That's what I even said, because when he walked out, I was like, oh my God, that's Jessica Husband's ex. That's Jessica Simpson's ex.
Yeah, and then I know, like, Vanessa Lachey. I can't remember her old name, but her name's Vanessa Lachey now. She was TRL. Do you remember TRL?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was TRL. I think that's how they met.
Okay.
Through his boy band. And then he tried to have a solo career. He's got one of those real, like, his voice cracks me up. It's one of those real American voices. It's real, like, yeah, you know. And it's like, could be anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could be anyone, yeah, singing, you know? You're like, you could be anybody from them. But, like, they were like, oh, you can kind of hold a tune.
From, like, you're attractive. On the block or whatever.
Yeah.
What band was he in?
Oh, I can't remember their name.
It was so, so American, though, wasn't it?
It was, like, was it 98 Degrees?
I can't.
Was it 98 Degrees?
I'm gonna Google this because I can't.
I feel like it was 98 Degrees. Was there, sorry, like, there was, I think there was some element of family in it too. There was, I think, cousins possibly, or
yeah, 98 degrees.
Oh my God, Carly, you are so embarrassing. I embarrass myself.
Born on November 9th, 1973.
I know the way you're going into it. You're like, Nick Lachey, born on November 9th, 1973. Great guy.
He is an American actor, singer, and television
actor. Stretch.
Stretch.
Do you ever see that on people's profiles though? I know we're going a little bit off topic here, but I feel like we could do a total other episode on 90s boy bands and girl bands.
Oh, because
they,
yeah,
were a whole different world of pain. But I feel like there was always, like, they'd do those, like, do you remember when Paris Hilton did House of Wax?
Oh my God, yeah.
Was it called House of Wax?
It was called House of Wax.
And it was like, she's not an actress. And then it was like, actress, entrepreneur. I was like, oh, are we stretching?
What was House of Wax? What was that about?
Do you remember, it was a horror one? It was a horror. And then Chad Michael Murray.
Oh my God, as yes.
He cheated on his wife during the... Oh, did he cheat on his wife with Paris? Yeah, he did, yeah. And your woman's unreal from One Tree Hill. I know too much about this.
I forgot all about that.
Give me the bullet. Yeah.
Jesus. But you know what, actually?
Escándalo.
Escándalo. I was thinking the other day and I was like, I would actually love to watch that from the start, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, I did.
Did you?
I did, like, where do you do ago. It? Spike TV, I think it's called, Spike. Which is funny enough. Is it Spike TV? Yeah.
Pardon the pun.
It was mad.
If you're a Buffy fan, you know.
And my sister just started rewatching it. I don't know why. And then I started rewatching it with her. And I was like, oh my God, I fucking love this show. But you know what? Yeah. I really want to rewatch Angel.
Oh my God.
Angel was so good.
I didn't pay enough attention to Angel when it was. I didn't appreciate it while I was around.
David Boreanaz, yeah, was my crush. Like, and I just loved Angel. I loved Angel.
Where is he these days? I know he did Bones.
He did Bones. I think he does still bits and bobs. Like,
Bones is cringy.
Is it? I've never watched it.
It's very cringy.
What is it?
It's him. It's like fucking X-Files.
Him. It's him.
It's like... It's like X-Files. It's like they tried to do X-Files. Now, I've only seen little clips of it, so maybe it's not the paranormal and the supernatural world, but there, yeah, is weird shit in it. And they just... It's one of those shows that they just... Every little line needs to be wee.
Okay.
That's a bit much.
Okay.
A bit much.
Oh, like, it's like everything's a bit of a back and forth and you're, yeah, like, this doesn't need to be a back and,
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, exactly, like, yeah.
Please,
they just fill
chill out.
Every page with wee.
So on my journey of, you know, researching for, also, that dog, love it.
Oh,
but
fuck, sorry, love it about that. He's an arsehole.
So on my, yeah, he really is, but on my journey of course, researching for today.
Yeah.
I found, like, the difference and, like, what's happened in trends of, like, TV shows. And it's like, we've gone from, like, being really obsessed with reality back into high concept TV.
Okay.
So do you know what...
Explain it for the listeners.
Yeah.
Well, right. I actually don't know what you're
saying. Right. So, high concept is kind of like, basically it means it's easy to grasp.
Okay.
So if you see, like, a poster for a TV show, you kind of know what it's about.
Right, okay.
Like, say for, like, what's a good one that would have a poster varied? Like, anything Marvel, like Arrow.
Yeah.
Is that Marvel? I don't know. But okay. Anything like Arrow, or Arrow, and you see him with, like, with his crossbow, and you're like, I know what that's about.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get me? Or, mm-hmm, like, it's kind of easy to think, easy to grasp for us. But it's funny because what's after happening throughout, like, the pattern of the years is that we... watch TV differently depending on what the world is like.
Okay.
So for, say, something like the 90s, we got really into, like, darker shows.
Yeah.
Because people were feeling good anyway, because we had the tech boom. We had Bill Clinton in office, and that's seen as the quote-unquote, like, golden years a little bit.
Right, okay.
And then, like, after 9/11, people got really into shows where, like, the bad guy was caught and punished.
Oh, all right, okay.
Yeah, it's actually really, like, really interesting. But, like, for movies, they have, like, marketing guidelines. It's called The Look, The Hook, and The Book.
Okay.
And The Look is, like, how visually appealing it is. So, like, Jurassic Park, you see dinosaurs, you know what it's about. Fucking dinosaurs in the poster. You know what you're getting. Like, the hook is like the story of the film that they're trying to sell. So, like, everyone wants to know why dinosaurs are floating about on the earth again.
Yeah.
You know? And then the book is like the merchandising page.
Okay.
So, like wearing t-shirts, wanting the t-shirts, getting the lunch boxes out.
Okay.
When they were big and all that other kind of stuff. So, it's like having that concept. So, it's like, basically, it's going to be great for a wide audience because everyone will get it.
Right.
Do you know? Like, mm-hmm. Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Everyone, you saw Harry with a wand in Wizard. You knew it was magical.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it kind of goes out to a wider audience. It's not difficult. Like, say if you saw something for, like, what's... Like, Walking Dead was high concept as well, because there's an alternate universe. But apparently writers, a lot of writers nowadays were going back to high concept and away from shows like The Office and stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's what we wanted for back then. And now we're going back to things that are kind of like fantastical again. Like,
yeah.
The Good Place and like shows like that. And I think, like, from what I've read, writers prefer it because you can kind of... You can get more jokes out of stuff that isn't real.
You can go a bit mad.
Yeah, and that's why, like, Marvel, going back to the Marvel Universe, you know the way they have all them, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all those TV shows, and I'm like, who the fuck is watching them? Apparently people are really into watching them.
Really?
Yeah, because they're really easy to grasp and they're just kind of like...
Yeah.
You know it's not real and you can kind of carry along quite easy.
Yeah.
So it's
and it's not like those, it's not like a series where you'd be like, oh, I need to see what happens next. They're all kind of standalone things, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, people are, as much as we love reality TV, and reality TV really had its boom in the 2000s, in the noughties. We're kind of moving away from that again.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting because you see other concepts like Love is Blind. So obviously we talked about this on our Patreon episode with Connor Bean. And he is just so...
into his pop culture.
He just knows pop culture like the back of his hand. He's just like an expert. But we kind of briefly got into Love is Blind. But when I put it out to Twitter and when I put it out to our social media as well, everybody was like, please talk about Love is Blind.
Oh.
Because it is just like I'd say every second person was like, talk about Love is Blind.
It did grow legs, didn't it?
It did, so...
All of a sudden, everybody was talking about it. And they timed it fucking brilliantly with Love Island being over.
Yeah, definitely. And I think people, after Caroline Flack's passing and everything like that, people kind of wanted something that was so... That was comforting, that they knew about, but was a bit bizarre as well. So if you don't know the plot of Love is Blind is essentially really like, I don't know how this got over the fucking line. So a load of strangers that really want to get married go into pods. They date each other. They're not allowed to see each other. The pods are split by a screen, so you can't see each other. You can only talk to each other. They get to know each other. And then if they decide they've really fell in love with an emotional connection, they're really pushing this emotional connection, by the way, the whole way through up until the fucking weddings, they propose. And once they propose and they've accepted the proposal, then they can meet. They get thrown in together into an apartment. They all get an apartment in the same complex, which is excellent, by the way. And they live together then for 4 weeks and then they get married at the end of it.
It's mad.
It's fucking bizarre.
I've only had an episode, episode one and half of episode two because I fell asleep.
Do you know what I like about it though as well? I feel like, well, I do and I don't. With The Love is Blind, they did it in episodes and they did batches. So it was they called it a 3 week event. It was like Love is Blind, a 3 week event. So they like released one batch of episodes in the first week, second batch of episodes, and then third batch of episodes. I watched the finale last night and I have to say I was kind of bored by the end of it.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And I was so, the first and second batch of episodes, I was so all in for. And then the weddings, I was just like, oof.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I'm over it.
But have you looked up the... Because obviously this was filmed in like 2018.
18, yeah.
So they've had to keep an embargo on what...
Yeah, on what happens.
Happens, yeah. So have you looked any of them up or...
No. I didn't do it.
That'd be the interesting part of it now.
What?
See, are they still together or are they still broken up?
Yeah, well, they're doing a reunion now.
Fuck.
So they're recording a reunion for it as well, which will just be like ratings through the roof because everybody wants to see, like, even the ones that did make it the whole... Because not everybody makes it, like.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see. So it'll be... I'm excited for that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. So that's kind of like... It just grew arms and legs and went wild.
It did.
Yeah.
Really did.
I mean, I think people are like, please talk about it. Like... I don't want to ruin it for anybody who's not seen it, but there is just some certain characters that, like, there is one couple in particular and there's a 10-year age gap. And
did she pick him?
Is not getting over it.
So, but she picked him.
What do you mean she picked him?
Ali picked the younger fella as opposed to Barnett.
Barnett said no.
What? I haven't seen it yet. So
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no. Barnett.
He
like
probably went to Elsie or the other one.
No, he didn't go for Elsie. He went for Crazy Amber. Yeah.
Amber. Okay.
Yeah, but it turns out they're actually quite good for each other. But sure, okay, Elsie. Well, it's what he deserves, I would say.
He seems like a dickhead.
He gets a lot softer, but I mean, sure.
Yeah, but he called Diamond a stripper, like, within 2 seconds of going into the pod. He was like,
"Oh, the stripper's name. So,
strip club you were in."
Oh, yeah. She was literally like, "Hey, no, that's my real name, Diamond, because I'm a Diamond." And I was like, wow, bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'd call my child.
Yeah, well, for anybody who's not watching it, that was boring. Sorry about that. But yeah, it is it is a mad concept.
It's an incredible...
It's not like it's with really The Bachelor good. And stuff like that. It's not brand new either.
It's not brand new, but I think it's because it's a Netflix one and people like to binge watch. And that's kind of like what's after happening here is that, like, I feel like Netflix have really found a really good niche because what they did is they released them in batches.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, sometimes when Netflix release, like with Stranger Things, I fucking sit up for 2 days and then I've melancholy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is shit. And then with this, it keeps you hooked in because they like do loads of buzz. Everyone's tweeting about it. Everyone's watching it at different times. But then the weddings just fell flat for me. They're going to have to make it more exciting. They will. They've already commissioned season 2.
Have they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's starting to shoot like
and
fairly live.
And it'll be mental because people will have known about it then.
Yeah, exactly. People will now be like, oh my God, waiting for it. So I'd say they'll churn it out now. I mean, it is all a moneymaker.
And they'll know what to push, like what narrative to push, because people will be loving the drama.
Yeah, true.
Very so they'll true. Show a lot more drama rather than a lot more crying. It was very fucking emotional. Like,
I mean,
1.5 episodes in and I've already seen enough crying to do me a fucking year.
No, bizarre. like that's what I'm saying. Absolutely bizarre. Another one that people keep bringing up is Naked Attraction.
That is crazy.
So
you're judging somebody off their genitals.
Yeah.
Who hosts that? Is that Emma Willis?
Yeah.
It's very strange.
It's, again, this is where I'm like, why did she say yes to this?
Yeah.
You know?
It's
like Emma Willis, who does really like she did Big Brother, you know, she did like
Emma Willis Raises Babies.
The Circle. You know, babies. She's done she's done a good few bits and now she's literally like, haha, here I am doing fucking this mad TV show about people's genitals. So what is it again? There's like 5 or 6 people in a room and they like, it's like a girl who's picking, isn't it?
It's or girl a girl who's picking and there'll be a screen on top of like a lineup of about 5 or 6 fellas, but they will take away the screen away from their genitals and you have to pick a suitor from the look of their genitals.
Yeah.
And like genitals aren't cute at the best of times.
No, and then they kind of go like, they go a little bit up and a little, when they show them their body and a little bit more and a little bit more, it's really weird. And then they date together naked. And then it's like, okay, so if you want to just pop off your clothes and come back, and then your one comes back and she's like, great, so here I am. And then they go on a naked date. It's a fucking bizarre TV show.
It's very strange.
A fucking bizarre TV show.
Mm.
Before we go back to that, I think we should have a look at people coming up with their own ideas for reality
TV. Oh, I love it. Have you ever seen these videos on TikTok and they're like, this is my perfect murder, or this is what happened?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, they're fucking brilliant. There's a girl, I saw one yesterday, and you can never find the fucking TikTok video again if it goes missing. You have to like it if you want to save it. But she was saying, what did she do? She sent somebody a Snapchat message. He put up on a story that he was like fresh out of the showers, dressed, ready to go out, and she was like, I don't know why I sent him this message, but I just said, I bet you look good now, or I bet you smell fresh now. And he was like, I don't know what to respond to that. And she was like, you respond with, I'd say you smell fresh too, and then we go on a date, but we don't meet back again for another 10 years. And then she goes off on this whole fucking thing, and they're the funniest stories I've ever heard in my life.
Interesting.
Then we meet up 5 years later, I have a son.
Oh,
you
did,
you know, all this sort of stuff. Like Dwight out of The Office, my perfect murder.
Yeah, well.
I break into Tiffany's.
Yeah, exactly. It's Tiffany.
Dad owns the store. It's Tiffany.
Yeah, exactly. We go to 2 separate parts of the world.
I tell her to meet me in Canada. I don't go to Canada. Yeah. I go to Spain.
Yeah, it's so good.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So here are some that people have come up with themselves.
I love it.
An insight into the world of stray cats. Cameras follow stray cats around and see what they do.
The show we never knew we needed.
I would watch that.
So would I.
That's bizarre. I would watch that.
And I'm not mad about cats.
Look at them mad things. I mean, look at them.
Not mad about cats, but I would.
No, I would watch it.
So would I.
I would like to watch it. This intense race to New York. So six people find themselves at random points on Earth, all the same distance away from New York.
Oh my God.
And they have to get to New York.
I love it.
I mean, it's kind of like The Amazing Race, isn't it? But like, better.
What's the other one where they all get a bag of money and they have to... Or they're all like under surveillance. It's not The Hostage. It's something like that. They're all given, I think... Sorry, there's a bag of money at the end of it. And they all have to go on this mission to get to the bag of money, but stay under the radar. And put their surveillance on them, like the producers and all, there's surveillance everywhere and they can keep finding them, but they have to try and escape the producers to get to this bag of money.
Oh.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I mean, the producers have the cameras that follow them around. Anyway, city and country folk swap lives. So,
Do you remember Wife Swap?
Yeah, that's another. I was about to say, off the back of Wife Swap, this one would be a good one.
That would be a good one.
Basically, a rural guy goes to an urban area, an urban person goes to a rural. They get dropped off with a group of people used to that type of living. They do a life swap, party night, see what they're like everything around there.
Yeah.
Like, imagine getting dropped in the fucking back arse of the Gaeltacht.
Oh, I love that. I'd love to see that.
I think that would be great.
Yeah.
Where'd he?
They've done something like that. Is it The Village, Raised by the Village or something, where they send troubled kids up?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so they send, I don't know how long, I didn't watch it, but I saw the ads for it. It was heavily advertised, but it was two inner city Dublin kids were sent to different parts of the country, and they were like made farm, and they were made join the local GAA and live with this family from the country, but they really turned their life around, like...
Wow. Yeah. This one I particularly love. Busker edition of The X Factor. So,
I would like that.
Wannabe music producers can only source talent. Sorry, no, this is making the band Street Corner. So these are kind of like two of the same concept. I'm like, oh no, wait. So there's making the band Street Corner edition. So wannabe music producers can only source their talent from street corners.
Love it.
Or then another one where actual music producers... Like not incognito, because nobody knows what music producers look like, do they really?
Not really.
No. Float around and find their talent from that.
I love it.
And don't introduce
themselves.
I'm sure
that happens.
I'm sure they do, but
imagine the Oscar.
Yeah, but imagine filming it. And seeing like why they took someone on or why they didn't or what they think. Because like those people would just be performing anyway. Like it would be so cool.
I would love to see that, yeah.
So there's one here and it's you fix up a house each episode, but they only have $500 to $1,000 budget.
Yeah. They've done that before.
They have, but not to... They've done it on a shit scale, do you not feel?
Yeah,
like they've always
like,
done it on like...
Like 60 Minute Makeover and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and
like
all that.
That
other kind of
but
crap.
That's... Yeah, a lot of that stuff is donated, but
yeah.
Even like 60 Minute Makeover, Adam, as a painter and decorator, does be going fucking
really?
Mad.
So...
What fucking paint dries in an hour?
Oh, really, yeah.
He goes ape. So and I'd be just like...
Yeah, you can literally like... But then I suppose that's like, if it's on a timer. With this, the whole idea is that you get tips from professionals throughout the show. Oh, yeah. To get me on like a small budget, something that you can do for yourself. Improv comedy takes center stage. So it's called Skit Happens.
I love it.
Which would be amazing.
This is a listener's idea.
These are all, these are all from Reddit.
Oh, okay, right.
These are all from Reddit. So teams of contestants are given various props and they have to just do skits around them.
Loved them.
So upcoming improv people, that would actually be quite funny.
That'd be cool.
I mean, Wild and Out, I liked Wild and Out.
I loved Wild and Out.
I thought it was really like interesting. Like, I thought it was really funny. Yeah, I thought it was actually gas because they were so put on the spot.
Yeah.
All the time. They were literally like, what the fuck?
Love. Is that Nick Cannon? Wild and Out.
It was
that
Nick Cannon's idea. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
Made him a lot of fucking money. God bless him. Like, he came from Nickelodeon, not really a big player in Nickelodeon, and absolutely made a fortune. Married Mariah Carey, made a fortune.
Had the twins,
Morocco and Monroe.
Yeah.
Big Brother Prank Edition. So, Big Brother, but in a house with secret packages, and they have hidden things so the crew can mess with the housemates.
Oh, I like that.
That would be very funny. A difficult family cooking show. So, a cooking show where there's a new guest judge every week, an old cooking proud lady, and you have to make her most favourite and completely unhealthy written ancient family recipe.
Oh, wow.
No shouting. She's very sweet and encouraging, but not actually very helpful. The show will feature a lady from a different ethnicity every week. The jury is her family, ages 90 through to 2 years old, who will be judging on how close it is to how grandma makes it.
I love it.
That's actually written. No shouting.
No shouting. I would love that.
Competitive undertaking. So, that someone was like, I'm sure I could pitch this to Discovery Channel at this point. So next town over at Sunset Cemetery, Billy Shovel is broken 3 hours before the funeral.
The fucking
mad. And then lastly, an improved version of a very good TV show, Wipeout, but everything's oiled up, so it's impossible to stand on.
That was the name of the Amanda Brunker and Richard Hammond one.
Wipeout, was it? Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. Oh my God, hilarious. Imagine them all oiled up, fucking hell. But there was oil on some of the assault court, like parts of them.
But everything's oiled.
That's just a shit show.
I know, like,
you wouldn't make it past the forest bouncy ball.
That's like, literally, but every, like, where you're standing to jump off is oiled. You're oiled. Everything is oily.
Jumping up and just going for
sponsored
it,
by Johnson's Baby Lotion. Yeah, it's all I'm saying.
I have one here in the unpopular opinion inbox. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the Netflix game show called Awake?
Yeah, it's many people wrote in about it.
Really?
So I had a quick YouTube of it there. Bizarre.
Okay, so explanation of it here. 8 or so contestants stay up for 24 hours counting quarters and then guess at the end of the show how many they've counted. Then they do challenges and one person gets eliminated each time. Or if they think they were the worst in that challenge, they can opt to take the cash prize of 5, 10 or 15K depending on the round. The last person gets to wins the money, and if his or her guess of how many he or she has counted is within $250 either side, they win everything. But they can go even further and will win $1 million if their guess was within $25 either side. Honestly, a mad game, and I'm probably not even doing it justice in explaining it. It sounds complicated, but I'd say it's mad. They've just stayed up for 24 hours.
Yeah, no, I'd be fucked. I'd be out.
So would I, like.
I'd be out within, like, my memory shot as is, like. I can't remember what I read this morning.
I getcha, yeah.
Do you know what I never understood? How it became such a phenomenon? Something like a phenomenon. Deal or No Deal.
I still don't know how that works.
So, everybody, it's really weird. All the contestants are selected and they all live together in a hotel.
Did they?
Yeah, and then it'll be like Jen's episode. We'll all be like, Deadly Jen, it's your episode. And then you all just pick these random boxes every time. And then you're like, there's like no rhyme or reason to it.
I know, like the dealer, everybody has a box. The dealer,
is it called the dealer or the banker?
Oh yeah, whatever it's called.
No, I just couldn't remember because it's like the banker's calling. I hated that.
The banker, yeah.
He used to make such a fucking song and dance about it. And he'd be like, who's that bloke who presented it? I hated him also.
I know, yeah, the he looks like your man who owns Virgin Media.
Yeah, he does. He looks like Richard Branson. He looks like fully. Richard Branson. Fully looks like Richard Branson. Yeah. But he was his name Richard as well?
No, his name escapes me. I can't remember what it is. And when I see it, I'm going to be like, oh, for fuck's sake.
So you used to pick the boxes just randomly, and then the banker would be calling. So like if you had, it was up to 250K, wasn't it?
I don't know. I didn't get into it. It was just...
And a lot of people used to always end up with zero or 50 grand or something. Because you'd have two boxes left and you could switch the box or keep the box or take the box or whatever. There was no rhyme or reason behind it. No idea how it was so popular.
Here it is. So Deal or No Deal. It was Noel Edmonds, by the way.
No, there.
Deal or No Deal. That's the £250,000 question.
Oh, God. Oh God, I'm nervous.
Posed by presenter Noel Edmonds. There were 22 players, each of them whom holds one of the 22 sealed boxes, each containing a different amount of money, ranging from 1p up to 250 grand. One contestant is chosen to play the game and he or she opens the other 21 boxes by choosing one at a time. When a box is opened, the value contained in that box is taken off the board. Oh, sorry, yeah, the board had all the things listed. Yeah, yeah. So they basically had to get all the way through the board without picking the most money.
The most money, yeah.
Yeah, so whatever one was at the end of it was what they were left with. But yeah. I think they could bank it or take it.
A lot of people, like the two boxes that they'd be left with, I don't know how the fuck it happens.
They were so very...
like £100 or £100,000.
Yeah.
So you'd be fucking stung. And that was just that. But like what was heartbreaking about it is that like all these people, and like they really built it up and they were like, what are you going to do with the money? What are your plans? And they'd be like... They always had like a story behind it. They're like, I'm going to pay for my mum. She's had a rough life, blah, 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 blah. And then like, it'd be like me and Jen being the last people. And I'd be like, Jen, I really hope that this is the box that you want. And then I have to flip it and it's like fucking 100K or something. And you're literally like, so I've just lost 100 grand.
Yeah, because they're already close, aren't they?
Yeah, because they're living together for fucking...
Yeah, well, I didn't realise that.
Like,
yeah.
It's fucking mad. And then it's just like a draw as to who gets to go on the next episode.
Mm.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
And then I think they just film it all in batches. But like you have to take obviously leave from your job and everything to go and do it. Because it's just done in batches. Bizarre.
I have another one here. There is something about Miriam, where 12 men went on a show to find love with a beautiful woman named Miriam. There was a catch unknowing to the boys about Miriam. Miriam was once a man. That's a show. There's something about Miriam. That was in the DMs. Oh, this one here, this one. The American reality show based on plastic surgery, where you completely transform your face and body, then have to compete in a fucking beauty pageant. It didn't tell me this part, Carla, against each other as to who was the prettiest or had the best work done. So warped. And it was also hosted by Amanda Byron. I loved that show, but I don't know if that was healthy watching that at 8 years old.
I remember watching it being like, oh my god,
you were young,
like, yeah,
you're still new,
so young, but I remember just being like, this is so fucked up.
Yeah.
This is another outrageous suggestion that somebody sent in. Kiss, bang, love.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Australian. Funny enough. Single men and women are given the opportunity to find a partner through blind kissing tests. Does natural physical chemistry predetermine romantic success?
It's kind of like Love is Blind, but the opposite, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. And on the back of that, the 7-year switch.
What?
Yeah. Four couples who've been together for several years but whose relationships are in turmoil are matched with a new person to live with for 14 days. That just sounds like...
Wife swap.
No, but it just sounds like you're asking for trouble there. Wife swap, people weren't in a bad way. If you, like, these relationships are already in turmoil and you're fucking switching them
no,
out.
No, I think wife swap they were because it was kind of... Now, I'd say most of it was for fun. They just kind of had to say that their thing wasn't... But they always came back on, I'm really sorry, I never appreciated that about you before. I now know how much I would miss it if you didn't do it, you know, that kind of thing. Like, they did go back and appreciate their partner a hell of a lot more because they were always matched with like polar opposites. Do you remember the little fella? He was like, I won't eat my bacon,
you chicken nuggets,
my chicken, I'm packing my bags.
Super Nanny.
No, that was Wife Swap.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because they had the lady, I remember seeing it, she was like...
She was like, that woman's after coming in here and taking away my nuggets.
Yeah, that's it was the wife swap because it was her week. So the wife used to have to live their way for the first week. And then she implemented her own rules the second week. And that's when he lost his shit. He was packing his bags. He was out of there. He was gone.
Oh yeah, do you remember he was gone?
He was in his little suitcase. Little shit, but hilarious.
Another one that's on... Netflix, and I actually watched this, and it was bizarre as it sounds. Back with the Ex.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So it's basically like four singles reconnect with their exes and attempt to reignite their romantic pasts. Like there was mad ones that were like only a year broken up, and then there was someone who was like high school sweethearts who had like been married, had kids,
no
and everything.
Way.
They actually did well. I think they're still together possibly. Or there was ones that like they got caught cheating, or there was on off relationships. It was really like it is actually quite interesting, and it's on Netflix, so I just binge watched it, and it was good enough. Like it was good enough for me. Good enough for me.
It did you.
It did me. Do you know what I mean?
It did you.
Bride and Prejudice.
There's mad shows.
Have you heard about this? It's British, which I quite enjoy British reality TV shows. Because you're like, it's mad seeing how different like different areas are.
Close to home. Yeah, the American ones are always
fucking mad, like people are mental. I think that's why Love is Blind did so well, because people in America are fucking crazy when it comes to love and
it's
getting married.
It's just so much more extreme, isn't it? Like everything in America, it's so much more extreme.
It's so much more like blown up in your face. Such a blanket statement, but also kind of true.
Yeah.
So this one is six couples all attempting to approach their big day are determined to try and win over their family. So obviously their family had a problem before.
Oh, so yes.
There was one couple, and I think the husband was trying to convert into Islam.
I was going
to
say a lot of
family
Muslim
were
families
just, like,
aren't
not about that life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was one lesbian couple. And I think it was one of the partner's family just couldn't accept her sexuality or the fact that she was about to marry a woman.
Yeah.
There was like mad stuff. There was one that just thought her daughter could do better. So just wasn't having a bar of them.
I remember this, yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember it.
It wasn't actually too long ago, because I remember, unless if it was just a rerun, but I remember seeing it because it was a girl, she was Muslim. He wasn't, I think he was Hindu, and he was willing to change over, but her family were just having absolute, no, sorry, her mother and her sister were fine. I think it was the dad that she had to try and win over. He was just having none of it, but I think he ended up moving country, like, to just have absolutely nothing to do with the family, and they were all devastated. Like, it is
a heartbreaking. That's what
it's
I was
a heartbreaking
thinking.
Situation.
It's a heartbreaking situation to be fucking on. Would you air out your dirty
That's
laundry
what I was saying.
On your family?
Would you, like, hard enough to go through that in the first place? Imagine a camera crew following you around through all that.
But also, I'm like, hi, my parents are arseholes.
Yeah.
Welcome to the world of gobshites that I live with. Do you know? It would just be, I don't know, it'd just be rough. It would just be rough.
But, and do you know, I was only thinking this the other day, right? Because I was going, you know how you end up getting this? Because I was fucking delighted that Paige and Finn won Love Island. Spoiler alert for anybody who's only catching up, but I don't think you would be. Because I thought it was Shanice and Luke T just going by Twitter who was going to win. Well, I was delighted, and I was like, oh my God, I loved them so much. I think they're the only genuine couple in there. You know, all this sort of shit. And then I was like, actually, Jen, take it back to basics. They applied for Love Island. Why do I care about them so much?
Literally.
But then every single person who's on a reality show, they have fucking applied for that.
Yeah, I know. They knew what they were doing. It's not as if it's like camera crew just found them and they were like,
and
oh,
you
no.
tend to forget that, don't you? Because like Paige, she applied for Britain's Got Talent. And I can't unsee her on that stage.
Come on, skin left.
Yeah, I can't unsee it. Finley plays for fucking, like,
West Ham.
It's the other one. It's the one with three MK Doms.
How the fuck do you know that?
I went on to his Instagram.
I've stalked him a lot, Carl. You underestimate how much I know about him.
I couldn't know, because I forgot what he did in real life, because it was never mentioned. But and even like in the talent show in Love Island, he didn't do like techers or anything. And I was like, why?
I liked Shanice, and normally I'd fucking cringe, but I liked Shanice and Luke T's dance.
I fucking loved it.
I was like,
it's on, if you search Heat magazine on TikTok.
I saw them on the TikTok, and I was like, go on, get up, give you.
I only saw part one and two, and look, I'm still waiting on part three. Very gorgeous.
Still waiting on part three.
She can do a wine.
She can, like, she's very cool mover.
Yeah,
she's
very
a cool girl. She's a slick mover.
But it's so funny, because like Luke T isn't a dancer, but he's still, it's just, he just has it in his bones.
He just has the flow, doesn't he? Yeah. Like, he's just got that flow. Like,
he's just better than her in some ways.
Yeah, I know. It's got, like, hers is a bit put together, whereas he just looks like, he just
falls
in. Is she a dancer?
She is, yeah.
A little dancer. I know she works
I'm
for
a dancer.
Benefit.
Oh, 100%. I'm a dancer.
Somebody said, do you remember that Bachelorette-esque TV show, except half the guys were gay, and if the girl picked a gay guy at the end, he took the money. if she picked a straight guy, they split it.
Oh, God.
I swear it was in the noughties.
That did, sounds like a... Connor talked about this on the Patreon one, no?
Didn't know.
I think he did. I think he slightly mentioned
did
it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
I remember it. Actually, I do remember it because I remember the gay guys were like, I'm straight. I'm so straight.
Yeah.
Because they wanted the money, obviously. And they'd be like, I am absolutely straight. Like,
hilarious.
I think it would be better in the reverse. If all the girls were, or if the girls were a mixture of gay and straight.
Yeah.
I think it would be gas to see how like men can be. Because I'd say men would explode. Like if they picked a gay girl, they'd be like, no, you're straight. Do you know what I mean? They'd be like, no, I'm not gay.
That's actually true.
They'd be like, you do, Rodney May.
Very true.
You'd see them losing their minds.
Yeah.
I think that would be incredibly interesting. So if you could just bill me.
Yeah.
ITV, if you could just bill me. Bill me for the fact that I just gave you epic, epic suggestions. Someone said the whole concept of Love is Blind, LGBT people were told for millennia that they would ruin the sanctity of marriage, but straight people can get married without even meeting each other on television.
So true.
That is the most like key point I've ever heard.
Yeah.
An iconic point, actually.
Absolutely.
TBH. Bizarre TV show concepts. I think these are... Oh, these are ones that this listener has came up with themselves. The farmer must find a wife or something similar. Creepy old guy with old-fashioned views on what a wife is like has failed to marry till now. Has three women who think they're on the shelf, move into his gaff, fight for his attention so he'll pick them. Such old-fashioned views make me want to die. The definition of a man who views his wife as an object and not a person.
I love it.
Any marriage at first sight things. And then naked attraction always freaked me out. Oh no, maybe these are ones that are actually out already.
The farmer one?
The farmer one? The farmer must find a wife. I must Google that. They said, by the way, the podcast gives me life on the weekly drive commute from the north to Cork. Oh, shit. Oh, no. North Meath to Cork. I can't read today.
Take Me Out was another mad one.
Take Me Out. What? Take Me Out, Take Me Out.
Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom. Oh, yeah, Take Me Out. Sorry, Take Me Out.
No, I
fucking hated that. I hated his voice and all of that shite.
And then the Irish, of course, tried to adopt it. Martin Guilfoyle was a guest on Take Me Out Ireland.
Sorry.
It's on his TikTok. Hey guys, I'm Martin. I'm from Southside Dublin.
Oh no, he fucking did not.
He did. I was so young looking in it as well.
Oh God bless him. Like,
he's as cute.
A chick.
He's a chicken.
Was he taken out?
I don't know. He just put up the first bit of it on the day. I actually didn't see his episode. I probably did back in the day and didn't know who he was.
Like, did he get taken out?
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he went to, what was it called? Shifters.
The Shifters.
It was the Irish one was Shifters.
What was the other one?
Did they actually go on a holiday?
Fernando.
Did they actually go on a holiday in the English one? They went to a fucking pub called Shifters in Ireland. Like, how? Why don't adapt it? Like, stop.
Someone said they sent in about Naked Attraction. They said Naked Attraction's fucking weird. Like, hi, I'm Dave, 36, a primary school teacher and quite a shy guy. You've got your fucking cock out on the telly, Dave.
Such a good point.
Someone said, do you remember the show on MTV, Room Raiders?
Oh my God.
It was so strange. They kidnap the person, they go into the room.
Anyone bundled into the back of a van?
Yeah, they go into their room and see how dirty it was, use a black light on the sheets and for body fluids and stuff. So disgusting and weird, but I'd be glued to it.
Be glued to it and terrified that it would happen to you at the same time.
I was like, oh my God, my mum is definitely going to put me on that show.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember you just used to decide these things in your head and you'd be like, oh, I swear now, my sister is definitely going to wrap me out and put me in that show.
I think we talked about that before on the reality TV one. Another one that was Pit My Ride.
Pit My Ride, yeah, we talked about Pit My Ride in the reality TV.
What was the other one? Do you remember Punk'd?
Yeah, Ashton Kutcher got his whole fucking career off it and made so much money
and I was paranoid. I like thinking I was a fucking celebrity, thinking that what magic happened, that
I was going to punk you.
I thought that I was going to get punked. I was like, am I being punked right now?
Ring me. I'm literally.
No, who are you? You're 12?
You're at home in your playroom.
Something falls off the shelf. Oh my God,
is somebody going to punk me right now? Who's going to punk you? Do you remember you'd be in school and you'd be like, am I being punked?
Yeah.
No, you're in maths. You're absolutely
you're
not being...
You're
in B1. Yeah, you're absolutely not being punked right now. You're on your 10-minute break.
Pretty sure it's illegal to put cameras up in the classroom. Like,
you're also 13.
Yeah.
Your life is not that fucking interesting. Do you remember Eurotrash?
Oh my God.
So it was really, I just remember being a lot of naked women on it, but it was a 30 minute magazine format program in English, but it was presented by French people.
It was Anton, what was his name?
Anton de Coney?
Something like that, yeah. It was on Friday on Channel 4, I remember, because he used to go, oh.
And Jean-Paul Gaultier.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, he was the little creepy fuck. You know what? He was like Hugh Hefner on the thing. He was a weirdo on it. And like, you'd see the one with the biggest boobs in the world on it, or you'd see like...
It was really sex-driven, I remember.
It really was, because it was like shown factories where they're... and then nudist beaches and just weird shit that goes on in Europe.
Davina McCall was a voice.
She was.
She was a voice on it, yeah.
Because she was mad for Channel 4 back in the day.
Oh, yeah, she was, like, in name and all fairness, yeah.
Because she was Big Brother as well.
Do you know they had a one-off special?
What?
In June 2016 for the referendum.
Eurotrash.
Because the European Union. Gas.
Yeah.
All together. I miss Eurotrash. Bring it back, please.
Yeah, it was a bit of crack.
It was a
great
one.
Like, but when you're, what age would I have been watching Eurotrash? And like, I had a little fucking portable tiny screen telly up in my room watching it, and then like petrified that my mad woke up while I was watching it, going, not watching it. Because it was, there was boobs and all, and I was really
and like,
young.
I'm not watching porn.
Yeah. You would genuinely think you were watching porn.
I was like, oh my God, there's porn on my TV. I didn't realise it was free.
Oh, it was fucking gas, it was.
Someone said, just tattoo of us. How is that legal? Is bizarre. Who would put themselves forward for that TV show? I do not understand. It's like people that go on Judge Judy and are happy enough to air out all their dirty laundry. Fucking bizarre.
Yeah. It is weird.
Absolutely bizarre. Someone said cat dog.
Remember cat dog?
Cat dog.
And Angry Beavers.
I don't remember Angry Beavers now.
Dina?
No.
Angry Beavers is cool. Norb and... can't remember the other Beaver's name. They were funny though.
So like the cat dog was like... it was the face of a cat and then the arse was the dog head. And they both just had like... and they just joined the middle and it was a and it was a cartoon. But it was just a...
it was...
fucking bizarre.
The household cartoon. Pet centipede, basically.
Somebody else suggested what is going on here? Somebody suggested Fear Factor.
Yeah, I remember it was huge when it first came out. I lost interest fairly quickly.
What, Fear Factor? Yeah, I loved it. Now, it was every Thursday night at 8 p.m. That's how much I loved it. And I used to be bet into
who
it.
Who used to present that? Was a huge name that used to present that.
Was it Joe something? I feel like his name is Joe. He was short and he had a deep American voice.
It wasn't Joe Rogan, was it?
Maybe it fucking was not.
Then I feel like, yeah, because he was a skinhead. No, he was a bodybuilder. It wasn't Joe Rogan. Was it?
Ludacris did it for a while. Joe Rogan.
It was Joe Rogan.
Fuck off.
Yeah, it was Joe Rogan. That's what I had a feeling.
Fucking Joe Rogan.
Yeah, and then I thought Dwayne Johnson did it for a while as well.
Oh, did he? It says presented by Joe Rogan and Ludacris. Ah, Ludacris.
Yeah.
I miss him. Miss you Joe fucking Rogan, that is mad.
Yeah.
Hilarious now. That is,
yeah, that rings so many bells now that I know that that's Joe Rogan. Yeah, it did.
Sorry.
See it. Yeah.
Oh my God, somebody just wrote in one and I can't believe this has not come up and been like absolutely like looked at by the deepest of psychologists. Super size versus super skinny.
Oh, yeah.
How the fuck did they get away with that show?
It's mad.
It was like the most body shaming show, actually. I know it was the premise that it wasn't body shaming, but I mean, come on.
Yeah. It was, they were trying to make it educational, weren't they?
Yeah, it was like, look, this. And do you remember they used to put all the food into the brackets and they had to... do you remember they used to put them into like these bins almost? And the person that was super skinny had to eat.
That, yeah, it was cruel. Like,
it was, yeah, it was so fucked. It was absolutely fucked. There was a lot of ones that kind of got like started in the UK and then America would just kind of like run off with them, wouldn't it? And do you remember Dr. Chris Jessen?
No.
No, do you remember Dr. Chris Jessen? And no. He was that really attractive doctor and he was on that other one, Embarrassing Bodies.
Oh, blonde, Christian.
Floppy. Yeah.
Dr. Christian.
Dr. Christian Jessen. That's not what I said.
I would have just known who you were talking about if you said Dr. Christian. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, do you remember, it was such a body shaming, fucking, like, an absolutely triggering show.
Yeah.
So fucked.
As well as, like, my 600-pound life and, like, you watch them and you're like, you're kind of going, how why is this on the telly? Or like, what's the crack with it? And then the one on £600 Life, I'm sorry, but the plastic surgeon looks like the ropiest plastic surgeon I've ever seen. He's this little fella and he just comes in and starts giving out shit about like the fact that you haven't lost enough weight to go ahead with the gastric band. I just feel like he'd do an operation with a spatula, do you know what I mean? I just get that feeling off him, but he doesn't give a shit. He just comes across like he doesn't give a shit. Whereas like with Botched, I feel like I'd be looked after, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, by the lads. I mean the lads. Someone said passion fashion. Don't be ripping. Do you not know Passion Fashion on TG Cahill?
We've had this before.
Yeah.
We've had this conversation before.
Passion Fashion. An absolute belter of a TV show for us in the noughties. And then everybody just kind of keeps bringing up the same ones again and again. But somebody said the Gummy Bears cartoon. Bears would take liquid speed, go berserk and scare the villain.
Fucking hell.
It was a kid's show.
Nice.
Slightly terrifying.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think that... pretty much
we'll finish with Gummy Bears on speed.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it seems like a good place to stop. I am sure we missed out on loads.
We definitely did.
We absolutely did. But what's fucking new? You know, we're never that prepared when we're doing the show. We're recording this after upload time on a Sunday this week.
I mean,
sorry about that.
What can we do?
We need to get our shit together. Really don't care.
We absolutely do. Well, hello. I had the research. I have the fucking research here. Yeah, guys, we also have a new Patreon episode up at the moment. It went live today. We will leave the links in the bio and everything else like that. And me and Jen are working on a few. We had a little conference call there before we recorded. We're working on a few cool new concepts and things to do for our Patreon as well. So if you're interested, click into our social media, click in the link in our bio and go onto our Patreon. Sign up. We're fucking there.
Fucking
Connor Bean, who's like the coolest fucking pop obsessed person ever in the entire world.
Absolutely. If you don't know, just because we didn't reference it in this one, because I think some people are like, who? And then you say he was on Pop Obsessed. They're like,
oh, Connor Bean.
Him.
He was also on Fade Street after Fade Street.
He was.
Yeah, he used to do the little riffs at the end, which were my favourite.
Quite fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quite fun. Yes. Yeah. Okie dokie.
Okie dokie, everybody. We will leave you there.
Yeah. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.